to James chapter 1. Let me turn on this wireless mic. I almost forgot. James chapter 1, here in the New Testament. Give everybody a moment to turn there. And back, kind of toward the back of your Bible, we were in Hebrews at one point there on Sunday. If you find Hebrews again, just start turning a little bit closer to the back, and you will wind up in James before too long. And James chapter 1, I want to read to you tonight one of my favorite passages in the Bible, especially one of my favorite passages in the book of James, and we'll see what the Lord has for us this evening. So we're going to begin reading down in verse 22, and if you're there in James chapter 1, why don't you go ahead and say amen?
Amen.
All right, that sounded at least like a third of you, and the rest of you will be caught up by the time I'm halfway done reading. So James chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible says this, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for another chance to come in on a Wednesday night to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus. Lord, what a privilege it is just to be able to own a copy of your word. Lord, just to be able to read it and to be able to preach from it. Lord, that's a privilege beyond all privilege. But Lord, I pray tonight, Father, that you would open up this book to us. Lord, I pray that you might shed your light upon it. Lord, there's no amount of knowledge or education on our part that can allow us to understand the words of the living God. And so, Lord, I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit might now lead and guide us into all truth. And, oh Lord, I pray you would change us and conform us to the image of your dear Son. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen. Within the pages of the Bible, we are given several pictures from the Lord regarding how He views His words. Of course, we're told in one place that the words of God are like bread. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." By the way, this book is my food, amen. It's my daily bread where God feeds me and sustains me. But not only is it bread, it's also said to be a hammer. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls it the hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. And by the way, this King James Bible right here, it is a hammer that can break through the icy heart of man to get to the soul that a man might be saved. Amen? And not only is it called a hammer, this Bible that I'm preaching from tonight is also said to be a sword. As a matter of fact, the Bible said over in Hebrews chapter 4, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it calls it the sword of the Lord, which is the Word of God. And so this book right here, it's my weapon. It's my tool for serving the Lord. It's my bread to sustain me. But we see right here in James chapter 1, in this passage that we've just read, yet another picture of the Word of God. You see, here in the passage I've just read to you tonight, the Lord says that this King James Bible is none other than a mirror that shows us what we truly look like. And by the way, can I say tonight, that's why many a man doesn't like to come to the Bible. That's why many Christians close the pages of this book and stop reading it and stop studying it and stop listening to the preaching of it. Not because they don't like what it says, not because they don't like the God that said it, because they do not like what it reveals about them. Can I be honest with you? Oftentimes when I come to this Bible and it shows me the dirt on my face and it shows me my blemishes and it shows me all the areas where I'm unlike the one that saved me, it becomes difficult to continue to look into this perfect law of liberty. But tonight, with the Lord's help, I want us to do just that. I want us to look here in the Word of God. I want us to look here in James chapter 1. And I want us to learn something tonight about responding to God's Word. That's what I want to preach to you on very quickly. Responding to God's Word. You see, in speaking about the Bible as a mirror, I believe what the author is telling us here in this text is that it oftentimes, when it comes to this Bible, we respond and react to the words of this book the same way we react to our appearance inside of a mirror. See, sometimes you can come to a mirror and you hope to see one thing, but you see something else. Amen? I mean, sometimes, ladies, you get up there and you get that makeup done just right and you get everything going and you get your hair all fixed up and you stand in front of that mirror and you think, man, I've got it all under control, and then you see something out of place or you see something not quite colored the way you wanted it to be, and you look in that mirror and it does not show you what you want to see. And yet, can I say tonight that I love the Word of God. I love this Bible that I'm preaching to you from, but oftentimes I don't like it very much. Y'all understand what I'm saying tonight? I love this King James Bible, but oftentimes I don't like what it has to say about me. And yet, God help us tonight that when we come to the pages of the Scripture, when we come to the words of this book, that we might react and respond to it in a way that would be pleasing to the author. And so I want to look here tonight at three different ways that I believe every man, woman, and child responds to the words of God. And there are two ways that we're going to see tonight that we ought not to respond to it. And I want to finish up the message tonight by showing you the one and only way that we must respond to God's words. I want to say first of all this evening that some, when they come to the Bible, despise the words. They despise it. They don't like what they see therein. Can I just tell you, I've had that happen a few times when I went to go look in the mirror. I'll be honest with you, sometimes I'll get up there and I'll be getting ready for work in the morning, and I try not to spend too much time looking in the mirror, but you got to sometimes, don't you? I mean, you got to make sure you get your hair combed right and make sure when you're shaving your beard or trimming that thing up, you don't miss any spots. And so there's sometimes that I have to get there in front of the mirror and really get a good, close look at this face. You've never seen anything so scary. Well, you have. You're looking at it right now. It's always shocking to me. You kind of always have a way that you envision how you look, don't you? I mean, there's always kind of a picture that you have on the inside. And I'll tell you what mine is. It's me back when I was about 19 years old, when I was probably about 30 to 40 pounds lighter and didn't have as much gray and white coming in there on the sides of my head and in my beard. And I tell you what, didn't have big old cheeks hanging off here off the side. I kind of picture myself like that when I envision myself in my mind. But then I'll get up there in the morning and I'll be getting ready and I'll get that beard trimmer out and turn that thing on, and I'll look there in that mirror, and you know what's staring me back in the face? It ain't a 19-year-old kid. Listen, it ain't somebody that's physically fit. It is a fat 32-year-old preacher staring me back in the face, and I don't like what I'm looking at. Sometimes I despise what I'm looking at there in that mirror. Can I tell you, the Bible's like that? A lot of times people respond to the Bible just the same way that they respond to that old mirror when you look at it there. Just a few weeks ago, Brother Gary, we got some family pictures done. Now, I know this ain't a mirror, but it goes hand in hand. We got family pictures done just a few weeks ago, and I'll be honest with you, I can't stand hearing myself. I've tried to listen to my preaching. I don't know how you people do it. I really don't know how you've lasted this long. I can't stand to listen to my own preaching. And I can't stand to see my picture. Don't even like having it taken. And yet we went and got these family pictures done. And when those things finally came in, Sarah got them there on the computer and was pulling them up and going through them. And she said, "Do you like that one?" And I said, "No, I'm in it." She said, "Do you like that one?" I said, "No, I'm in it." And I was shocked. I was amazed to see how big the belly was on the guy in that picture. I don't know who that person was. What I'm trying to say to you tonight is, oftentimes when we look into that perfect law of liberty, oftentimes when we come to that Bible, we despise it for the very same reason we despise what we see in that mirror. You see, that Bible will show you exactly what you look like. That Bible will reveal exactly what you are in God's sight. And though the world might flatter you, and though you may think a lot of yourself, I believe that Bible is able to knock every last one of us down to size. Amen? I know people come up, they say, "Well, I don't believe the Bible because it's got so many mistakes. It got so many contradictions in it." And yet I've never had one show me a contradiction. I've asked a lot of people. I've asked them, said, show me one. And I've never had somebody show me a legitimate contradiction in that King James Bible. Not one time. I've had people come up and say, well, I don't believe that Bible because it's a man-made book. It was written by men. And yet, can I say to you tonight, for being a man-made book, supposedly, that thing has an awful lot of stuff right in it. It has an awful lot of stuff that lines up just right in it. I kind of believe you get to reading that thing more than about 5 minutes, you're going to find out it was a God-written book. Amen? And they'll come and they'll say, well, I don't believe that Bible because it's so old and so old-fashioned and archaic and it's not really up to date with modern man. And yet, can I say today, that Bible's got more truth in it than tomorrow's newspaper. It can tell you more about the world today in the year 2016 than you'll find out on Fox News and MSNBC and C-SPAN and every last one of them combined. In other words, what I'm saying to you tonight is the reason people don't read that book, the reason why the world doesn't much like that book, it ain't because they can't believe it. It isn't because they don't like the author. It's because they don't like what it shows about them. I'm telling you tonight, some people respond to the Bible by despising it. But others, and I believe this is probably most Christians, when they come to the Bible, they respond by forgetting it. See, some people despise it. Some people, they just don't give enough attention to it. Now, that's exactly who James is talking about right here. He doesn't deal much with those that despise it in this passage, but man, does he deal with those who forget the words of God, those who come to it flippantly, those who come to it without any concern. That's who he's speaking to. Look there in verse 23 with me, if you would. He said, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." There it is. It's a man looking at himself in the mirror. Got it? Now look at verse 24. "For he beholdeth himself," and I want you to get a hold of these four words real, real good. I mean, get them in your head and keep them there. He said right there, "and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Now can I tell you, I've read this passage many a time. I've studied this passage over the years. I thought I knew a lot about it, but I had never paid attention to those four words, "and goeth his way." Can I tell you real quick, can I kind of show you tonight what it's showing about that man here in this passage? What you've got pictured right here in this passage, you've got a fellow walking there into his bathroom, and he looks there in the mirror, and he sees that he's got a big old smudge of dirt going across this side. And he's got a big old smudge of black ink going down that side. And, got boogers hanging out his nose holes and his hair's all out of place and everything else. And he gets to looking there, that old ugly mug staring back at him there in the mirror. And yet he says, "I'll clean it up later. I'll fix it up later. I've got places to be. I've got things to do." And the Bible said he goes his own way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man. He forgets that fella he saw back there in that mirror. Can I tell you tonight, that's the vast majority of Christians I've ever met. That is Morgan Lester in a nutshell, if you really want it. I come to that Bible, Brother Gary, and it shows me what I am. It not only shows me what I am, but it shows me how to fix it. It shows me how to get it right. And yet you know what I do more often than not? I come to that thing and I say, well, I know I ought to. I know how to now. I mean, God showed me how to get right. He showed me how to look right. He showed me how to fix the blemish. But I go my own way and forget what God showed me in that book. Can I tell you tonight, that's why we have an altar call up here. I know some people, listen, I know preachers out there. I know Baptist preachers. I know independent Bible-believing Baptist preachers that would think we were absolute heretics for having an altar call. They're out there. Listen, they are out there. There's a clown for every circus, amen? And there are some of them out there, they say, well, there wasn't an altar call before the days of D.L. Moody. Well, that don't mean it ain't a good idea. Amen? Y'all, some of y'all backing off on me here. I still believe in old-fashioned altar call. You know why we do those altar calls? Because I want you to make a decision right now while God's dealing with you. That's why. Amen. That's why. Because I figured out something about myself. And I figured something out about you. And you know what that is? God might be dealing with you right now in this service. He might be revealing some truth to you. He might be convicting you of some sin. He might be calling you into His service. He might be doing a great work in your heart and in your life. And if you don't take care of it now while He's dealing with you, you'll go your way and straightway you'll forget what God was speaking to you about and what God showed you. I tell you, I believe it. Some of y'all, I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't be real mean to you. But I'll come by tonight and ask some of y'all what I preached on Sunday night. I'll come by and ask some of you what the title of my message was on Sunday morning. Oh me. Can I tell you something? I'm not faulting you. I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm making a point to you. I can't hardly remember. I preached it and I can't hardly remember. You want to know why? You can remember the songs that you learned back when you were in high school. You can remember all those rock songs on the radio, can't you? Remember every last word? I can still remember every chord, how to play them on the guitar. I can hear them come on walking through the store, and I can still remember exactly what fret my finger needs to wind up on to make that exact noise. Remember every bit of it. But you know what I can't remember a lot of times? The words of those hymns. I've sung them dozens, hundreds, some of them thousands of times. Can't hardly remember the words of them without looking at them. Sometimes I'll get ready to quote a verse of Scripture that I've memorized, that I have preached on, that I've studied and read thousands of times in my life. And yet, you know what happens? I can't get the words out. My mind goes blank. Hey, sometimes I'll be just trying to think on the things of God, and it's all of a sudden like other things flooding. You say, I wonder why. Can I tell you why? The devil knows just what he's doing. Your old flesh knows just what it's doing. And it will do every single thing in its power to keep you going the same way you're going. The devil ain't trying to get everybody to go down to the bar and get drunk. He just wants you to keep doing what you're doing so you won't serve God. He's perfectly all right with you just staying as a mediocre, lukewarm Christian all of your life, never do a thing for God, never tell anybody about Jesus, never get on fire, never get excited, never get fanatical, never shout, never praise God, never tell your coworkers, never tell your neighbors, never tell your family members. He is all right with you going to church. He's all right with you praying. He's all right with you reading 15 chapters of the Bible a day, just so long as you don't ever change. Just so long as you don't ever do what God wanted you to do. That's what he's describing right there. He said right there, you're going to respond to the Word of God in one of several ways. You'll either despise it, and I hope that's not you tonight, or you might just forget it. You'll say, Lord, I'll do it. Lord, I know you're calling me. Lord, I know what you want. I'll do it later. I've got to go my way. He said, some people, they go their way and forget what the Lord said in His Word. But I do want to show you one last group, and that is those that when they hear the Word of God, when they read it and behold it, they don't respond by despising it. They don't respond by forgetting it, but they respond by obeying it. I want to say tonight that ought to be every one of us in here. If we claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we claim to be born again into God's family, then we ought to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. We ought to obey. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you tonight is that this book was not just written so you could know how to quote it. That it's good to quote Scripture. It's good to memorize Scripture. But that wasn't the whole purpose. This book wasn't just written so you could read it. I'm all for reading the Bible. The Bible said, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Amen. I believe we are commanded to read the Scriptures. This Bible right here, as much as I love to study it, it was not just written to be studied. It does say, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But that's not the only reason it was produced. That's not the only reason the Lord gave it. Do you want to know the primary reason why the Lord gave us this King James Bible? Can I tell you why? So we could obey it. So we could do it. Keep it. Honor it and obey it. So it could change our lives so they might glorify the Lord. That's why we have this book. I tell you what we've got too much of nowadays. We got too many scholars and not enough servants. We got enough people that can sit there and say, argue what they believe about the Bible and argue which verse says then what, and that they will not keep a word of it. Amen. Amen. God help us. By the way, I get sick and tired of hearing somebody's opinion on the Bible who had never read the Bible. Brother Gary, pray for me. I try not to be mean, but sometimes I have to get downright mean. I get somebody come in there and start saying, well, I just think a man's got to live it to get saved and go to heaven. I said, why you be dumb enough to think that? Amen. Oh, you shouldn't ridicule somebody's belief. Well, if it's satanic, I think that'd probably be a pretty good thing just to go ahead and laugh at it. Amen. I had somebody tell me just the other day, I said, listen, if salvation, if you did anything to get yourself saved, if you did anything to keep yourself saved, or if you're doing anything to keep yourself saved, or if you're doing anything in order to be saved, you're not saved. It's all of God's grace or it's nothing. If He didn't save you completely, if you have one little iota of credit in that whole transaction, then it's not New Testament biblical salvation. It's not what Jesus Christ paid for on the cross. And that lady said to me, well, I know, but I just kind of feel like maybe I need to make myself worthy of it. You say, what are you saying? I said, if you were worthy of it, Jesus Christ didn't have to die. I said, that's not a good way to look at it. There are good ways to read the Bible, and there's bad ways to read the Bible. Amen? There's good ways to quote Scripture, and there's bad ways to quote Scripture. The devil can quote Scripture. Amen? He does quote a lot of Scripture. What are you getting at? What I'm telling you tonight, Christian, is that we would do far better. I believe in studying it. I believe in reading it. But do you want to know above all things what we need? We need to obey it. We need to let that book change our lives. He said right there, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. I'm going to say this and I'll be done tonight. I look back through that Bible. I look at the men that God used and the women that God used in the pages of this book. And I don't believe that there was anything about those men and women that was any more special than anybody else. I mean, Jesus, absolutely. He's the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh. But you look back at David. He was the youngest, the smallest, the least of his brethren of his father's household. But God used him. You look back at Moses. I mean, Moses was nothing but a child that was left in a river to die and grew up with an Egyptian name and an Egyptian parenting and Egyptian training and didn't even had a speech impediment, couldn't hardly talk, and yet God took him and God used him. You look all through that Bible. It's a bunch of people that have problems just like you and me. They have failures just like you and me. They got sins to deal with just like you and me. And yet you say, why did God use them and not somebody else? Why did God take somebody like Isaiah and use him and not any of the other prophets or any of the other men or women there in the nation of Israel? Can I tell you why I believe He did? Because over there in Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord got all the host of heaven, got everybody gathered around, called old Isaiah up there to the meeting. And He called out through there and He said, I've got a message to deliver. I've got a certain task that needs to be done. Who will go? And of all the cherubim and all the seraphim, of all the angels in the glory of heaven, of all of God's creation that was present in that place, the Bible indicates one man raised his hand, old Isaiah, and he said, Lord, Lord, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Say, what was he saying? Can I explain it to you real simply tonight? He was saying, Lord, whatever you say, your words, we're talking about the words tonight, amen. He said, whatever you say, I'll do. Wherever you send me, I'll go. Lord, if you put it down, if you tell me to do it, I don't want to just listen. I don't want to just hear. I want to do what your word has told me to do. I believe something. I don't know if I can quite prove it, but I believe it is scriptural. I believe we're going to be accountable for all that God has invested in our lives. And you know, I don't feel bad about this, but I do feel like it's true. We don't have a lot of things here at Ball Road Baptist Church. We don't have a lot of the programs some churches have. We don't have all the people some churches have. We don't have all the money some churches have, and we don't have all the facilities some churches have. But you know something we've got that a lot of churches don't have? We've got a perfect Bible. Amen. Say, well, preacher, all churches have that. Oh, no, they don't. You just talk to the members. They'll tell you. Well, the preacher said there's a mistake over here and one over here, and he likes this translation for this verse, but he likes this translation over here for that verse. You say, what do they have? They don't have a perfect Bible. Their preacher stole it from them. The devil stole it from them. Somebody stole it from them, but they don't have it. But I'll tell you one thing we've got here that I'm pretty okay with, that I'm pretty excited about. We've got us a perfect King James Bible. Not one mistake, not one error sitting right up there on that pulpit. Some of you have it sitting right there in your lap. You're going to be held accountable for that. You've got something that a good portion of the world and a good portion of Christianity no longer has or doesn't accept. But you've gotten a hold of it. You've got it right there in your lap. You've got it right there sitting before you. You're having it preached to you tonight. Do you know what you've done? You've heard a whole lot of God's words. We have 3 Sunday school classes, and I'm not doing this as an advertisement. I'm getting you somewhere here, and I'm done. We got 3 Sunday school classes every Sunday morning where the Word of God is taught. Amen? 11 o'clock, we've got a service every Sunday morning where the Word of God is preached. Sunday night at 6 o'clock, every Sunday, with very, 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 very few exceptions, we have another message from God's Word where that book is preached. And you know where you all are right now? If you don't know where you are, we can get you some help. But I think most of you probably know where you are. You're sitting in a church pew on a Wednesday night at 7:50 p.m. listening to the Word of God be preached. Do you know what you're doing? You're hearing the Word. You're hearing the Word. Now, you know what some of you are going to do? You're going to go out of here and go on your way and forget what you've heard. But you know what the Lord would have you to do? He'd have you to be a doer of what you've heard. He'd have you to be a doer of the Word of God. He'd have you to obey, to change, even on a Wednesday night service like this one. What I'm saying to you tonight is I believe the Lord is looking for some folks who won't despise His words, who won't simply forget His words at the first sign of trouble or the first sign of earthly pleasure. I believe He's looking for some Christians who will hear and listen to and read the words of God and say, Lord, whatever You say right here, I'm going to do. I'm going to do. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to preach the Word tonight. I pray now You'll take this message, use it for Thy glory and honor. Draw us closer unto Yourself. And Lord, I pray we wouldn't come to Your Word any longer, Lord, just looking for answers and just looking for something to encourage us. But Lord, those are good things. Lord, more than anything, I pray we would come truly with a heart that desires to be obedient to You, that desires to serve You and to change into Your likeness. Lord, bless us now. May we seek, each and every one of us, even those who couldn't be here tonight, Lord, I pray as a church that we would seek to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Bless us now, Lord, as we go. Bless us now in this time of prayer that we're about to have. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. And amen.